Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hum-de-dum-dum.
Ah, hi, Pastor Dave.
Hi, Cecilia.
You sound very cheerful today.
Oh, I was just thinking about last night. We had a snack food that we haven't had for quite a while before.
What was that?
Fried Cheerios.
Now, in the making Cheerios, I assume that you bake them somehow, you know, to make the dough or whatever.
These you fry. You put butter in a fry pan, you drop in the plain Cheerios, and then you salt them, and then you fry them until they get really crisp, and you dump them in a bowl, and you eat them like popcorn, and oh, man, are they ever good.
I have never tried fried Cheerios.
Oh, you got to try it. Oh, you just got to try it.
I'd like to.
So good. Talking about trying new things, that's kind of what we're about here in the book of Exodus. Moses having to try new things, and he don't like it, actually.
No,
he's given a couple excuses. Well, why don't we take a listen to and flow into room 4216. If you were with us last time, and if you weren't, you might want to go back and check out that lesson. But just as a recap, Moses saw this burning bush and went up to it, and God spoke from it, and God said, I'm going to send you down to Egypt to free my people. And
Moses said, who am I?
He started making excuses, yeah. Who am I?
I was a murderer, remember?
And God's answer to that excuse was, I will go with you.
But then Moses had another question. He said, but what if the Israelites say, what is the name of the God who sent you? What is
and
your
remember,
name?
Remember, again, there are many people believe there were many, 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 many gods. And so that was a valid question in that culture. What is his name? And God said, I am. Which is basically saying, I'm not going to give you my name, but I'm going to give you my reputation. I'm going to tell you, I am here. I am present. And he's going to go on with that. But then after that, God also gave Moses more instructions. And how about we listen to that now, these further instructions after God gave Moses his name.
Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you, and I have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians.
God here is telling Moses what's going to happen over a long period of time, kind of summarizing it so Moses would be ready when it actually happens.
But I'm afraid there are some things I don't understand.
Well, let me guess. You've got some questions.
Of course.
Okay.
God is saying to Moses, go assemble the elders, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, first, I'll bring you out the mighty hand. Mm-hmm. You're going to ask Pharaoh to let you go 3 days into the desert to offer sacrifices to God, mm-hmm. and Pharaoh's going to say no. Mm-hmm. Why 3 days into the desert?
Well, there's a couple things actually here. First, do notice what God is asking and saying is they're not leaving Egypt. They just want to go out into the desert to worship.
Well, that's an excuse, isn't it? I mean, they're going to go out into
no,
the desert to worship.
Not completely.
And then
not
they're going to and then they're going to escape. They're not going
to. No, really. The first thing is to go out into the desert to worship. They just wanted to worship God the way they wanted to worship God. While slaves in Egypt, they could not worship God. Part of the worship of the Israelites was to have an animal sacrifice. And of course, you and I understand this going way down. It points to the gift of a Savior, Jesus giving his blood for us on the cross. That's what a sacrifice is always pointing to, how God would, and by the way, blood means life. And so if you pour out blood, you're pouring out the life of the animal, the life of the sacrifice, the life of the Savior who's innocent. Egyptians saw blood as life, but were abhorred with the thought of sacrificing an animal. They worshipped animals and all creeping things. So to offer them, because they didn't have in their idea a concept of a sacrificial for the sins of the world. They didn't believe in that type of thing. And so they didn't see any reason for sacrifice. And so that's why they wanted to go 3 days out. And so they're a long ways away from the Egyptians, so they wouldn't be bothered, they wouldn't be shocked, wouldn't be abhorred. Mm-hmm. And so really a simple, basic request, we want to worship.
But God said Pharaoh is going to say no.
Yeah, and the reason this is because they thought they were in the, as they say, the cat seat, the place of power. They thought they were in control. They were the masters. These are the slaves. And God wanted to show, no, he is in control. God is. And the only way to do that was to show his power. And it was happening through these 10 plagues. And there's going to be more about the 10 plagues with the Egyptians. But I don't want to get too far ahead with that, other than to say this was a demonstration of God and his power to show that the Egyptian gods and the Egyptians were not in control.
Okay, then. He says, I'll make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward you.
That's good. That's a contradiction. That is really good. I never saw that.
Now, Pastor Dave, you know that I've visited your house many times. Mm-hmm. And you also know that I love toys.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I've seen that you have some wooden cars on the top of one of your bookcase.
Yep.
Cases.
My dad made those, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay. Well, and you've got your Captain Crunch chest that you got.
I got that when I was a kid, and I ate cereal, Captain Crunch, out of that. Yep.
I like Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, you've got the little telephone that looks really cool that I always love to turn the dial when I go past it, you know. And then of course you've got the king of them all, Emperor Zurg. Yes.
This sector is off limits to all space rangers.
It's about 18 inches tall, and no, it's only a foot tall. And it's Zurg, and he's got a gun, and it pulls up. Anyway, you were saying, what about all these toys?
I want them all.
No, you can't have them. Why would I want to do that?
Because that's what the Egyptians were going to do. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. I really like that. It's an extremely good point. And God is saying all of this about what's going to happen so that Moses will be it's ridiculous. You're absolutely right. I don't want to give you my toys. And it's even more absurd that the master is going to give gold and silver to the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is saying this so that Moses will be aware when this all happens, God is doing it. Let's continue on reading in Exodus chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 through verse 9.
what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you?
What is that in your hand?
A staff.
Throw it on the ground.
Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it.
Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.
So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand.
This is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Put your hand inside your cloak.
So Moses put his hand into his cloak. And when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow.
Now put it back into your cloak.
So Moses put his hand back into his cloak. And when he took it out, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh.
If they do not believe you or pay attention to you for the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become the blood on the ground.
So Moses is making an excuse here to God.
Number three. Yep.
Yeah. What if they don't believe me?
Yeah. And how did God respond to that?
Very interesting answers.
Three significant signs, all of which we'll find out fly right in the face of the Egyptian gods.
Right, but right now he's not trying to convince the Egyptians. He's trying to convince the Israelites.
But in doing so, he's stating that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is greater than the gods of Egypt.
Mm.
The snake, leprosy, and then blood.
Can you imagine being told, throw your cane on the ground, and you hear the ominous hiss of a snake or the ominous rattle of a snake.
I won't go too. Pick it up, no. But you pointed out something before we started recording about that, Cecilia.
Well, yeah, Moses had to have had some faith in order to pick up that snake.
Yeah.
So he had to have already begun to believe.
He's starting to believe this is a God, if not the God, because it convinced him, as well as these signs would then convince the Israelites. So here we have Moses standing in front of the burning bush, almost bickering or arguing with him, and he's not done yet. Let's go on and read verses 10 through 12 for another excuse by Moses.
Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue.
Who gave this man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.
These have to be some of the most interesting and shocking Bible verses in almost all the Bible.
Say that again.
Yeah. God is basically saying, I've made those who are deaf, deaf, those who can hear, to hear, those who can see, to see, and those who are blind, blind. And I've made you, Moses, who you are, even though you say you're not eloquent and slow of speech, I've made you this way. A real good friend of mine, in fact, he was my predecessor in blind mission. He's a father figure for me, Pastor Ray Nearson. He made several interesting points here on this. First, when God says, I have made, meaning the sighted or the blind, the deaf or the mute or the slow of speech, it's not the Hebrew word of create from nothing something. That was Genesis 1. But this is more like the Genesis 2, where he formed from the dust of the ground man, and he breathed into him. He made man. So he's different things to do what he wants. And so Pastor Anishin even goes on to say it makes people blind. It's not by luck that they are blind or the devil, but instead God is using the material things, whether it be genetics or an illness or the black fly in Africa. He can use these things to accomplish what he wants, and he is taking credit for it. Now, I actually asked Pastor Anderson a follow-up question on this. Was why when Moses spoke about being slow of speech, and why did God bring in the deaf and the blind? His answer was amazing to me. He worked with both deaf and blind people. He said many times those who stutter have difficulty hearing. He said hearing comes in two ways. For you, you will hear yourself through your bones, literally your face as you're talking with the vibrations, but then also the sound goes out and then comes back to your ears and you hear. Now, if you're listening to someone else, you only hear through the air, but you hear yourself through your bones and your ears. If they are not in sync, that's when people stutter. And it makes sense, Cecilia, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but on my cell phone when I talk, I sometimes almost hear my voice echo in the background a second later, and I hesitate because I hear myself and I'm not in sync with myself when I talk. So it does make sense if you're not in sync, the bones with the air, why someone would stutter, because they're hearing themselves echo. Pastor Anderson went on to say two more things, though. I said, well, then what about the blind? Is it related to blindness this way? He said, no, but blindness and deafness are two obvious things in that people can be aware of quite quickly, either as you're talking to someone and they don't respond. That's
right.
Deaf, or he said many times when people who are, especially who are born blind, are walking or just sitting, you can notice they aren't turning, they're not looking at people, or when they walk, they're walking with a cane or a dog or very hesitantly. He said, so it's obvious. So God wanted to make the obvious known to Moses that those things that deal with communication, sharing messages, also are part of what he does. Messages, whether it be through hearing or through sight, he's involved with these things, and he forms and shapes people, and he will accomplish what he wants, even here. Might not be what we want, but it is what God made.
When I first heard or read these verses, I was brought up short.
Sure.
I was born blind. My parents were both blind, so I got kind of the genes from both of them.
Okay.
And I understand. I heard what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not so sure I like it. The main thing that I have is optic atrophy. My optic nerves didn't develop right. Are you telling me that as God was forming me, the Bible says that God knit me together in my womb or in my mother's womb?
That's from Jeremiah.
That he deliberately with his own hands, misshaped my optic nerves?
Are you sure he misshaped it or shaped it perfectly?
No.
You know, there is a continuum. We think eyesight is 20/20, but do you know how well eagles can see?
No.
Oh my gosh. At hundreds of feet up in the air, they're looking down at a lake and they can see a fish swimming. And they dive for that fish. They see far better than humans. Far better than humans.
Okay, but
dogs, for example, hear better than humans. Oh my gosh, the things that a dog can hear at different pitches and different levels. What makes our category of human 20/20 or hearing the one that the whole world is to be the standard by?
Because that is what most people accept as perfect.
Ah, you said several things there. People accept as perfect. You know, what really is the scale here is the real question. We may not like it because we want this, we want that. And what that ends up doing is making us God. I can do it better than God. I should make it this way. That's part of the problem.
Tell the people who want to heal me that same thing.
Well, there's many who have wrong ideas and misconstrue many things. This verse isn't meant to trouble you. This actually is meant to give you comfort. And God's word does that quite often. There are things that can trouble people, but it also, for some, brings great comfort. Moses didn't feel like he could speak well, and he also used the word eloquently, as well as, we think, stutter. Mm-hmm. But God is saying, hey, I made you. I'm going to use you just as you are. And that's what he's trying to say to you and me. It's supposed to be a comfort here, not something to throw us off. A lot of people feel insecure or belittled or incomplete because they don't have this, they don't have that, whether it be sight or whatever. God is saying, I love you just the way you are. You may not like it, but I like you. Just as I can use Moses, I use you too. You're special. You're not second rate.
You are not imperfect.
Correct. That's what this verse is trying to share with Moses and trying to share with us. Not rock our world that we have to struggle with something. I know a lot of people who have lost sight and lost hearing want it back in heaven. But God is saying right now, where you are in his sight, you are his child.
Because you are beautiful.
You are beautiful. He sees the inner, not just the outward shell.
You know, Pastor Dave, I actually take comfort from this, from these verses, because it would seem to some that God lost control when I was being made, but he didn't. He knew exactly what he was doing. Yes, maybe my optic nerves are misshapen, but he formed me, the outward shell and the inward shell.
With that, I think it's time we have to say farewell. Oh. And so, if you remember, we started with fried Cheerios. So do write us with your favorite snack treat, especially if you have a new one, or with any questions about Moses. And you can do so at
info,
I-N-F-O,
at not-alone,
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E,
.net.
That's spelled N-E-T.
Yes, it is.
And remember, we
are not
alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Interlude musicians. Robert Vaughn, Terry Nord, and Amy Rye.